The winner of that match faces the winner of the Portugal-Croatia match that will kick off at 7 p.m. Eastern in Toronto. In the NBA, former Chicago Bulls guard Anthony Simons has agreed to a two-year, $12 million deal with the Philadelphia 76ers. In the National Hockey League, the Washington Capitals have re-signed the NHL's all-time leading goal scorer, Alex Ovechkin, to a one-year deal. It'll be the 40-year-old Ovechkin's 22nd season in the NHL, all with the Capitals. In Major League Baseball right now, the Pittsburgh Pirates have a 3-1 lead at Philadelphia in the bottom of the seventh. Sal Stewart's 17th home run has given Cincinnati a 1-0 lead at Milwaukee in the top of the fourth.
Fox Sports Update on the Right Choice, KPRL, brought to you by Deeds Bar & Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, specials on wine, and dinner specials Thursday through Saturday. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with your Agribusiness Update. Well, the Renewable Fuels Association applauds President Trump's latest call for Congress to approve permanent year-round sales of E15 gas nationwide. The administration urged Congress to codify year-round E15 sales, calling it an urgent change that would expand consumer choice, support domestic fuel production, and add flexibility to fuel markets. RFA President Jeff Cooper says the president recognizes that E15 helps Americans save money while also strengthening the farm economy and bolstering energy security. Well, American businesses searching for skilled workers may be overlooking one of the country's largest talent pools, the National FFA, with over 1 million student members. Through classroom instruction, supervised work-based learning, and leadership development, FFA members prepare for more than 350 careers, including agriculture, food science, veterinary medicine, banking, business education, and government. FFA says many graduates enter the workforce with years of practical experience already on their resumes. Well, sales of medically important antibiotics for use in livestock jumped nearly 16% in 2024, raising new concerns among public health advocates about the growth of antibiotic-resistant bacteria. New data from the FDA shows sales increased to nearly 7.1 million kilograms, up from 6.1 million in 2023. According to the Environmental Working Group, sales of medically important antibiotics are now 28% higher than 2017.
Every summer, smart cattle buyers turn to Superior Livestock for quality selection and volume. Join Superior July 6th through the 10th for the Week in the Rockies video auction from Steamboat Springs, Colorado, featuring more than 240,000 head of calves, yearlings, and breadstock from top ranches across the country. Superior's Week in the Rockies has the loads to fit your needs. View every lot online and register to bid today at SuperiorLivestock.com. Don't miss Week in the Rockies, July 6th through the 10th, only at SuperiorLivestock.com.
The best place to reach a farmer with a farming solution message is when they're, well, farming. It's easy to find them during the day as most farmers are behind the wheel of their pickup truck or farm equipment with the radio on, listening to this station for the Ag Information Network of the West News. So reach real farmers right here, right now, as they listen to what's important to their farm operation. Give us a call and we'll connect you with our local farming community. They trust us, so they'll trust you.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with your Agribusiness Update.
Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Stuart Varney, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Stocks are mixed in afternoon trading, with the Dow hitting an all-time intraday high and on track for its 20th record close of the year as investors parse the June jobs report. Employers adding fewer jobs than expected during the month. 57,000 new jobs were added last month. The unemployment rate ticking lower to 4.2%. The healthcare and social assistance sector driving the gains, while hiring in the leisure and hospitality sector declined. The report is leading investors to dial back their expectations for interest rate hikes by the Fed this summer. The tech-heavy NASDAQ is falling, with chip equipment makers continuing to come under pressure while software stocks are gaining. And you'll be spending less for a mortgage this week, with rates falling to its lowest level since mid-May. The benchmark 30-year fixed rate fell to 6.43%, according to Freddie Mac. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Most investments today feel like second jobs. Real estate? You're a landlord. Stocks? You're a day trader. Crypto? You're a full-time researcher. You've got a life to live. Your investment should help you live it. That's why more Americans are choosing gold. Noble Gold has helped thousands protect their future with real physical gold. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com to get your free wealth protection kit. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
American Legends, next on KPRL. Brought to you by Davis Body Shop.
Hope you're in the mood for some laughs and no serious discussion of taxation, inflation, stagflation, or the state of the nation. I'll be right back.
Reagan, in his own voice, is brought to you by K-Brush Concrete, serving the entire Central Coast for more than a decade. Call Kevin at K-Brush Concrete, 423-4033.
Automobile accidents are no laughing matter. Indeed, they're serious and too often tragic. But someone has found a lighter side, if that's possible. By way of the Toronto Sun comes a list of quotations from insurance or accident forms. These are the statements all too many of us have had to make when we fill out a form summarizing exactly what happened in an accident. I thought you might enjoy hearing some of the more imaginative ones. There is, for example, the man who explained, "Coming home, I drove into the wrong house and collided with a tree I don't have." Or the fellow who wrote, "I thought my window was down, but found out it was up when I put my hand through it." This one should give you something to think about. "I collided with a stationary truck coming the other way." Another fellow said, "My car was legally parked as it backed into the other vehicle." And, "The telephone pole was approaching fast. I was attempting to swerve out of its path when it struck my front end." Now, you'd think Ralph Nader would do something about those reckless telephone poles. But just suppose you're an insurance claims adjuster. It's Monday morning, you've had a nice weekend at the beach, and now you sit down at your desk, faced with a stack of reports such as these. "A truck backed through my windshield into my wife's face." "The guy was all over the road. I had to swerve a number of times before I hit him." "I was on my way to the doctor's with rear end trouble when my universal joint gave way, causing me to have an accident." "A pedestrian hit me and went under my car. I told the police I wasn't injured, but on removing my hat, I found that I had a skull fracture. The pedestrian had no idea which way to go, so I ran over him." Now, you'll have to admit that shows a certain ability to make quick decisions, just as this next one reveals a compassionate nature. "I saw the slow-moving, sad-faced old gentleman as he bounced off the hood of my car." "The indirect cause of this accident was a little guy in a small car with a big mouth." Now, this next fella must like to bet on sure things. He reports, "I was sure the old fellow would never make it to the other side of the roadway when I struck him." Here's another one of those telephone poles, only this time the pole isn't to blame. "In my attempt to kill a fly, I drove into a telephone pole." Detroit's going to have to do something about cars that fail to communicate. One victim reports, "The other car collided with mine without giving warning of its intentions." And finally, "I was unable to stop in time and my car crashed into the other vehicle. The driver and passengers then left immediately for a vacation, with injuries. Well, my time's up. I'm leaving immediately. Without injuries, I hope. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan in his own voice, brought to you by K Brush Concrete. Anything to do with concrete, from a 5x5 walkway to a 500,000 square foot foundation. Call 423-4033.
KPRL presents Sound Off, the longest-running radio talk show in San Luis Obispo County. Sound Off on the North County's choice for local talk, KPRL. The views and opinions expressed on Sound Off do not necessarily reflect those of KPRL, its management, staff, or sponsors.
Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Davis Body Shop, your auto collision specialist in Paso Robles and Atascadero.
This is Sound Off, where the North County comes to talk on The Right Choice, KPRL.
And good afternoon and welcome to Sound Off. I'm your host today, Eric Gorham. Karen Veeley's out on assignment. She should be back coming next Wednesday, so look forward to that. And I have a pretty good show for you, I think. I think this first half an hour, I want to talk a little wrap up. We're probably all tired of hearing about the elections, but just some things I think are noteworthy things going on in the community. And of course, I'd love to hear from you. So if you'd like to call in, you want to change the subject, you want to question me, you want to add your two cents, you're more than welcome. It's 238-5775, 238-KPRL. You can text that number too, 238-5775. Let me repeat that, 238-5775, 238-KPRL. I'd love to hear from you. And, but I kind of want to go over, and I'm going to start this, I want to talk local, but I'm going to start this with the governor's race. And, I'm not going to talk about the Democrats. I'm going to talk about the Republicans that ran and just some things that I noticed. I mean, one thing that we had is we had a tough local cycle, you know, unfortunately we lost. And I think there's a few reasons for that. We tend to fight ourselves. We kind of show up late. We need to be supporting people early and find out how you, everybody out there, we need you to support our candidates. And I'll kind of come back to that, how you can do that at least. You know, I don't want to throw out a problem without a solution, and the solutions are fairly easy. But I want to get to Hilton Bianco. And I think this is a cautionary tale that we've seen over and over again. We saw this a few years ago. If you look at the county supervisor race for District 2, when it was three Republicans running and Bruce Gibson. And I think this tale kind of comes up. And as Republicans or as conservatives, we tend to kind of bite ourselves on this in a couple ways. But, you know, getting to Hilton, I always thought, and I said on this radio show several times, that Hilton had a very clear path to victory, especially in the primary. It's going to be a lot harder in the general. And I never saw a clear path for Bianco. I know people, you know, you support who you want to support, but to me, you know, looking at it, I love strategy and politics, and I never saw a strategy that Bianco could move past the primary. I thought he might be able to win it, which I thought it was unlikely, but possible. But what have we seen? So Hilton came in second. He, you know, he'll be here pretty soon. I'm going to be working on a few things. Hopefully we can announce a rally pretty soon. But, you know, now's the time to step up. And what we've been seeing from Bianco is Bianco's come out, weeks ago and basically said, I want to run as a write-in, you know, basically trashing Hilton. This is biting ourselves in the foot. This is a spoiled sport, in my opinion. This is somebody that's taken their ball, but they're not going home. And we wonder why we lose elections, because we can't go into defeat gracefully and help that person. I mean, in my opinion, no matter what, Bianco, you know, you lost, then you get behind Hilton and you see how you can get him to win. You get your supporters over there. But I think even before the election, the attacks on Hilton coming from Bianco's camp were pretty hideous, especially as we got closer and closer to the vote, you know, election day. You know, that last month, the attacks got very, you know, to a point, yeah, you have to attack your opponent, etc. But at the end of the day, we're all still conservatives, and you don't want to damage that person so badly that they cannot win later, that your supporters are not going to vote for that person. And we've seen this here locally. People take their balls and they go home and, yeah, you know, and I'll make an example of that before we move on to some of these other races. So what, you know, basically, that's the cautionary tale. And then I'll put it in the, and move that over to a race that happened a few years ago. And I'm not sitting here trying to blame anybody on all this stuff. I know a lot of the players. I know all the players in this race, and I don't blame any of them. It's just what happened. We had a race for District 2 supervisor. It got, you know, pretty, you know, people were bringing up past, etc. A lot of feelings were hurt. And when we finally had a clear path for the primary, which was going to be Bruce Gibson, Bruce Jones, you know, a lot of the support, you know, and I will say the Colonel completely supported Bruce Jones. He came on board with it. And I'm not saying anything negative about Jeff Oslin. What I'm saying is there's a lot of people that supported Jeff that just didn't want to support Bruce Gibson because of everything that had happened. And to some degree, I don't blame them. But at the end of the day, we ended up with four more years of Bruce Gibson. All we actually needed was seven more votes to win. That's all we needed. You know, there was a 13 vote difference, but when you put that down to 50% plus one, we needed seven votes. So when we have all those people that kind of took, and these are bigger names in North County, and, you know, they didn't come over and say, okay, this is our new guy. They said, okay, we're going home. And I think that could have changed things. And I understand why things got on all corners a little too out of hand. And when we do that, we ostracize our own people. And what I'm hoping is we can stop doing that, come together as a team and start winning elections. And we do have a call. Good afternoon, and thanks for calling the Sound Off.
Hey, I'm on the air.
You're live, sir.
Well, I think it was Jeff's fault completely that we lost that race, because he went and crawled in his hole, and he could have come out and said, you know what, past is past. We need to win this race, whatever. I'll eat my humble pie. Please vote for Bruce Jones. But he didn't, as far as I know.
Well, you know, I will say there was a lot of people on that side of the fence, not necessarily involved with his campaign or maybe loosely involved. And a lot of them are big names in Atascadero, and they all went home. Eventually, Jeff did. Jeff, you know, I think that was a hard race, and he got beat up. We got beat up. I was the strategist for Bruce Jones. We all got beat up. And at some point, Jeff did come around, to be honest with you, but a lot of the people that supported him didn't. And those are big names in Atascadero, and an endorsement here, an endorsement there, and having a little party here, telling people to vote for him. I think we could have got seven votes.
No kidding.
So that's the cautionary tale. And I'm going to go into this election cycle too. And I think we continue to do this as I don't see the Dems doing this, at least not here. You know what I mean?
No, they get together.
Right.
They get together. It doesn't matter because they're all dogs anyway.
Right.
It doesn't matter which
yeah.
lion.
No, exactly.
You know.
Exactly. So, you know, and I don't want to push this on Jeff. I mean, I was in the middle of that campaign. It was hard on everybody, and I understand the hurt feelings. And he did eventually come over and put his hand out, shake Bruce's hand, and wish him the best. And was he out campaigning for him? I think he was out telling people. He wasn't, you know, he didn't join the campaign or anything, but we didn't expect him to either.
Well, I guess I'm glad to hear that, because I didn't see that at all. He just disappeared and went and licked his wounds, and anyway, Yeah, that's the way I saw it. But then, of course, I don't know what's going to happen behind the scenes.
Yeah, no, and I was definitely behind the scenes, and I'm not going to trash Jeff whatsoever. I think, you know, did he go home? Yeah, it was a tough battle. He went and took a break, I think. I think he went out of town, did his thing, took a break, and came back and told, and, you know, he eventually did call Bruce, and there was a good conversation. And I'm not going to cast any blame on him, but I'm saying as a whole, that's what happened. You know, I'm not going to pick one person that has full blame in that, because it isn't one person. It's a bunch of people. And it's what happened beforehand, because it got very nasty.
Okay. Yeah. I wasn't in, like, well, anyway, that's the way I saw it.
All right. No, I appreciate the call. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. You have a good one.
Bye-bye.
So, yeah. And yeah, again, I'm not here to cast blame on anybody, just to make that clear. I'm just telling you what I've seen. And so I want to move this along. We'll get into this election now. And again, if you want to call in, the number's 238-5775-238-KPRL, or you can text your questions or comments into that same phone number. So we go in, and I'm going to start with the county clerk recorder. So we had three people running. We had Elena Cano, who's our current county clerk recorder. We had Vanessa Rosso. And we had Gaia Powell. And I was a little disappointed, because I wanted one person to run, because I didn't think, I knew this could be one in the primary. And if we had any chance, it was going to be one in the primary. When you have two people running that are conservative and a Democrat, chances are you're going to elect a Democrat. And I kind of saw the same thing. I didn't really see it from Rosso. Good afternoon, and thanks for calling in.
Hey, good afternoon, Eric. Jeff Oslin here.
Hey, sir. I actually tried to call you a minute ago, because I wanted to give you a heads up that we were going to be talking about some of this stuff, and I hope you've been listening, because I think what happened, and I'm not blaming you, just so you know.
No, I heard that. I appreciate that. And what a lot of people don't know is that Bruce Jones and I spoke several times leading into the election and afterwards, and you know, we buried the hatchet, and I think you're 100% right. There was folks that weren't willing to let it go because things were personal, and you know, heck, even you and I for a while had a little you know, spat, and we get along great now. So
yeah,
I think the bottom line is, we know how to screw it up, you know, but you got to get over it. We're past the primary when it comes to governor.
Right.
And
time to get on board. It's time to get on board and get this
4 years of crappy government again, and anybody worse than Gruesome. I mean, this is horrible. We need to unite and try and win this thing.
And I'll say, you know, I still remember the first time you called me after the primaries. I was over in Avila, and I was like, oh, and we were talking. I can't remember, you had something you wanted. I don't remember what the conversation was about, but to me, this is what politics is about. And I remember telling you this. I go, at the end of the day, yeah, you can fight hard, you do this, whatever, and then you should go have a beer, whatever it is, and oh, I got you here, you got me here, and it's you know what I mean. There's always going to be a winner and a loser, and but it shouldn't be some battle. We shouldn't hate each other forever. I mean, for me, no problem. Let's talk, like, you know what I mean. And
right,
that's how it should be. It shouldn't be like this Bianco thing, which I think, you know,
no,
him
it shouldn't be
still attacking Hilton. You know, Hilton's our only chance right now. And I don't think either one of them were the best candidates, to be honest. I always supported Hilton because I thought he had a clear path to victory, or he has the clearest, I should say.
Yeah.
But
yeah. And yeah, we just seem to mess it up. But you know, I hear it often enough that maybe I didn't do enough, maybe I didn't endorse soon enough. You know, there's things that happen behind the scenes that people don't realize. But you know, hey, if I call Bruce, he answers my phone. You know, it doesn't matter. I think he's in Maine now or whatever. We all buried the hatchet before the election, and you know, tried to push it through. And you know, I can't control what other people do or don't do. Neither can you. But we did try.
Right. And you know, for me, this is how I look at it. I looked at it, you know, when we lost that election, I thought we were going to catch up. I thought we were going to win. It was trending that way. and we ended up losing by 13 votes. But for me, it was our team's fault. Because to me, you don't leave it in the hands of the referee. You don't leave it, you know, you go out in the field and you win, and we didn't do that. So that I've never pushed responsibility on anybody except our teams, you know. And I there's no reason to, because we should have done a better job, you know, and we didn't. So it's unfortunate.
Yeah, and I think there was some unfortunate circumstances there too. I think, you know, the 11th hour there were ballots that were found that nobody knew about, and you know,
Listen,
we all know our district attorney. If that was illegal play and he could have found that, he would have prosecuted. You know, there's no two ways about that. So
yeah, and the unfortunate part even more is they didn't allow us in to watch those opened, like we're supposed to be allowed. And those particular ones, the ones they happened to find, we couldn't watch, which is highly unusual. I know the district attorney did write something to her admonishing the behavior and saying it is illegal, and next time, you know, there'll be consequences. I think that was the warning, but who knows what those votes were. I mean, there was a lot of irregularities, but in the end, to me, you know, you know, it's all, when I played football, when I played baseball, you don't try to leave it in the ref's hands.
No, you've got to take control of it, and that's the best analogy out there, because you just don't know what's going to happen when, and that's never a good thing.
It is not, sir, but yeah. So, I appreciate you calling in for sure. I was hoping to get a hold of you. I'm glad you're listening. And
You're on today. We got to listen to you, you know.
All right.
How that goes.
Yeah. Well, we might be trying to push you into some other seat soon. I don't know. We'll see. I got to call and bug you. So.
Yeah, I know. We're going to have to look at that.
All right, sir.
All right. Thanks,
have a good one. Thank you. All right, so I'm glad Jeff called in, kind of got his side of that. So going back to County Clerk Recorder, you know, we had Kano Rozo Powell, and what I saw was not an organized fight against Kano, who I think personally is the worst County Clerk Recorder we've ever had. I think we've had some of the best, Judy Rodewall. I think even Gong was a great County Clerk Recorder. He really was. You know, he left on a sour note, but I think that was his party that kind of pulled him down that road. But then we have Kano, who just literally, you know, I'm not going to tell you she cheats. I'm not going to tell you any of that. What I will tell you, at the very least, she is very incapable of doing her job. And the mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake. Every election cycle, we're having mistakes. This election cycle, we have something to the degree of 3,000 votes that weren't counted because they came in too late on election day. And we don't know where those votes came from. Were they from the Republican headquarters? Were they mail-in? I don't know. I kind of want to know. I've been trying to work on that a little bit, but didn't get it for you today, so I apologize. But what we saw in that race is, in big part, we saw Powell and Rozo going, and not so much Rozo. She kind of, I think, kind of took the higher road in this, but I kind of, in my opinion, Powell was the spoiler on this, because we had a third person. I knew it was going to be settled in the primary. So if we had two people, I think we had a chance. You know, Rozo won in the polling. Again, I think Kano is one of the worst by absolute, in other words, inept, I guess, County Clerk Recorders we've ever had. But she kind of relied on us to do the dirty work for her. I mean, we had a candidate attack the other Republican candidate. We had a lot of disagreements within the party. And in the end, we lost yet again. And to be honest with you, this is my honest opinion of that race, there wasn't a good candidate. Did I vote for Rozo? I did, because I thought she was our chance of winning. And I think she might have probably got a higher percent. If you take Powell out of this, say you add that roughly 10% in, it's still only 36.5%, give or take. But I think that little battle there cost a little bit, personally. And good afternoon, and thanks for calling in the Sound Off. You're live.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was going to point out that at one point during the count, San Luis Obispo County, which has 0.07% of the state's population, that's less than one-tenth, had 34% of the uncounted ballots. About 3,400 out of 13,000 statewide.
Right. Right. You know, 100%. I'd like to go a little further with that, but we're going to have to go to break. If you like, you can call back in, but we have to go to break right now. We'll be right back with more Sound Off. Thanks for calling in, sir.
Usually a reviewer, but I had an amazing experience at Davis Body Shop. From start to finish, the experience was ideal. Everyone was friendly, helpful, and professional. They kept me updated, did quality work, and had me in and out. No hassles, and returned my vehicle to me in perfect condition.
If you ever have an accident and need to repair your car, you could do what Ann did from Paso Robles. She took her car to Davis Body Shop. And Peggy from Atascadero said,
our family needed repairs to one of our cars, and friends had recommended Davis Body Shop. We were very pleased with their helpfulness, their attention to detail that was provided to us. They explained the process and kept us updated as repairs were made. They also assisted us in securing a rental car. I would definitely recommend them to anyone who needs repairs to a car.
Davis Body Shop is the area's largest auto body collision specialist on El Camino Real at Atascadero and on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
I've got deals on latex beds. I've got deals on memory foam beds.
We're talking to Rich London, the mattress specialist.
I've got beds with springs, hybrids, where they got springs and memory foam, or springs and latex, or some with even springs, latex, and memory foam. I've got them all.
Big savings now on mattresses of all shapes and sizes at the Mattress Specialist at 13th and Riverside in Paso Robles.
Lint Patrol specializes in dryer vent cleaning. You can trust Dylan with Lint Patrol to keep your vents clean and safe, and this helps your dryer run more efficiently and reduces the risk of a house fire. Dylan has over 6 years of appliance preventative maintenance experience and is knowledgeable in all things appliance care. This is an affordable, simple way to help protect your home. Contact Dylan today at 805-975-5176 or visit lintpatrolca.com.
And welcome back to Sound Off. Again, my name's Eric Gorham. I'm filling in for Karen Veeley today. She's out on assignment for Cal Coast News. I would be paying attention to that. One thing I noticed is up, if you haven't been over there to Cal Coast, I would take a look at what's going on at the Paso Robles Airport. It's kind of interesting. If we have time, I'll get into that. I don't think we will. But there is some interesting stuff going on, and I would start by reading that article. So, you know, I'm going to skip over. We kind of went over County Clerk Recorder. Let's move into Adam Verdin, Jimmy Paulding. You know, so we had, and what's interesting on the numbers, before we go any further, is that the Dantona and the Woody race and the Verdin and the Paulding race actually have the same percentages, almost exactly, of win-loss. I think they are exact. At least last time I checked, and there could be a couple things that came in since then. They were both about 53.52 to 46.48. It's kind of odd that they both had the same percentages. Interesting little tidbit. But, you know, Jimmy won that race as the incumbent, 53%, 53.5%. I believe Adam put on a good race. And I'm going to put these... Let's just go over both of these races real quick, because I think there was a win-loss... And I think the reason is almost identical. So we'll go to Dantona, Michael Aaron Woody, 53.52%. And I believe our next guest was at Dantona's. I don't think she was there. I think she just happened to be there. But at his election night party at the in Los Osos, from what I heard. Anyway, we'll ask her about it, but... but not for that reason. But anyway, so Jim Dantona, Michael Aaron Woody, same percentages. The loss by is a little different. Daytona, you know, won by about 1,219. Jimmy and Adam Verdin were about 1,477 votes separating them. But I feel like we'll go over Daytona first. So Woody, I believe, could have won that race. I think he is probably the best fit for District 2. I think when it comes down to Morro Bay all the way to our county line in Big Sur, he probably cares for that area more than anybody in the county and probably knows more about it, knows more about Morro Bay, knows more about Los Osos specifically as somebody that has, goes back to basically the beginning, you know, his tribal ancestry there and someone that appreciates what's going on. We had Daytona, who basically ran a, which is funny because Woody's a MPP, he's not a Republican or anything, but he ran a race against Trump, which was interesting for a supervisor because I don't know what Trump has to do with the city of San Luis Obispo or the county of San Luis Obispo and what Woody, you know, as an MPP has to do with the Republican Party, let alone Donald Trump. So what we saw was... This is where Woody, the one thing I disagreed, I thought he put on a great campaign. We have, I think it's $5,200 campaign limits. He gave himself his own restriction of a $500 campaign limit. At the end of the day, he did not raise much money because he didn't have any $5,200. He didn't have any $1,000. He didn't have any $2,500 contributions. And I think at the end of it, he didn't have the money to run effective campaign against Daytona, even though it was a close race. I think if he could have doubled that money up, got his voice out a little further, he probably could have won. You know, they were about 7 points off. I think he could have made that up. You know, I think another $60,000 to $100,000, Woody could have won the race. And I think he was a little bit self-imposed. But what we've been talking about, you know, and I wrap this back into, you know, us attacking ourselves, et cetera. But how do you get these people to win? What did Paulding need to lose? That's the question, because he's an incumbent. He had everything to win. He should have won. He did win. So how does a newcomer like Adam Verdin win that race? And it comes down to people like you, the people that are listening, the people really in District 4, so maybe not you. But the same thing with Woody. You got to go. These are simple, simple things to do, and they start right at the beginning. When somebody starts to run, it's as easy. If you have a Facebook account, you have an Instagram account, you take your picture with that person and say, this is my person, here's why. It takes you 30 seconds, literally 30 seconds. I like Woody for District 2. He cares more about the environment, whatever it is. And you put that picture up. Simple as that. You share posts they make. Simple as that. I mean, just the social media end on this, you know, we have a post up right now on the party site. You know, I think within the first day it had 66,000 views. That's a big, it's a lot of views. So when you're showing people who you like and they know who you are, et cetera, and you're well-versed, and a lot of people that listen to the station, they're going to be well-versed in politics, et cetera. People respect that. You might change a vote or two. And when that starts at the beginning, when people don't have to be fighting in the last month, they can be really just concentrating on finding out who voted and who didn't, whether they're harvesting those votes, whatever they're doing. That's what needs to happen. Instead, you know, they're sitting there still trying to fight the good fight, still trying to get their name out there. And by then, it's really too late. A lot of people vote. We have this early voting system now, and we also have an early voting system that you can't see who voted. In the old days, you could see who voted. You could go to the polling place. You could look up there. They scratched the names off who voted. And you could say, oh, I know Rick. He likes me. Why didn't... And you call him up and you say, get your ass down here. Excuse my French and vote. But we can't do that anymore. So simple things like that, just getting people's names out there, you helping them. And you do it two or three times during a cycle over the course of 4 to 6 months. That, you know, you have a few hundred people that do that, that makes a massive difference. That could be thousands of votes. So I'll leave it with you with that, and we'll be right back. We're going to be talking Medi-Cal insurance, right? Or Medicaid, Medicare. I'm messing up here. We're not on Medi-Cal. We're not going to talk about... anyway, we'll be right back after these messages.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.